Thank you. Morning.
Morning.
Good to see you, all of you today, especially on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And it's also the Pentecost Sunday. It's the fourth Sunday in Pentecost. We are still in the Pentecost season. And I wanted to recognize also it's the Freedom Sunday that our church celebrates worldwide because of the Juneteenth, commemorating this emancipation of the slavery in the U.S. and around the world. So this is a special Sunday for all of us, and especially on the Father's Day that we celebrate here today. I got a message this morning from, I think, some of the automated messages you get. Happy Father's Day. And then the reminder at the bottom says the rest of the year is Mother's Day. So it got me thinking this morning, because we usually give flowers to mothers on Mother's Day here and recognize oldest mother and youngest mother. And so I asked one of my dear ones what to do for Father's Day. She couldn't figure out anything, and I said, how about some flowers? No, men don't get flowers. So what do? So I looked it up on internet and said, you can send them an emoji. Emoji? You send an emoji.
That's all you get.
So happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And God is good. God is the loving Father, regardless of how we experience in this world. God's love is eternal, and it never ends. You know, our Father's love has limits. You know, we have limits on everything in this world, but our Father's love in heaven has no any limit. He loves us even beyond that we can imagine or comprehend. So God is good. And also we celebrate the Pentecost Sunday. We continue to meditate on our power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we can enjoy His presence every day in our lives. And also welcome to Josh and Bethany. Yes, yeah, I got it. Thank you again for visiting us.
And that's my other daughter.
Oh, your other daughter is coming to us. So we have a big crowd here today. So. Thank you, Jessica and family, joining us. Welcome. And the announcements are quickly go over that. It's the second page, very brief. These are the regular announcements that we have. I will reschedule Reverend Gary Thornton's schedule with him in the coming couple of months. I have also to take some Sundays off for my medical procedures that I have to do. So I will work with Tim and Gary on some of the Sundays coming up. And also they are looking for a permanent pastor here, so he will give us an update about the whole work of AIM and pastor search situation. And the food bank ministry is still here. Please donate in cash or in kind as God gives you the desire to do. And also the books are available if you want to buy. It's $10 that also benefit our mission work. Our third Thursday luncheon in July will be on Thursday, July 23rd. All are welcome for the lunch and fellowship at Golden Corral in coming. And next Sunday is the last Sunday of this month. As you all know, that we use it as a celebration Sunday to celebrate the blessings of the month. So join us for celebrating that, and then we'll have lunch after service, and then we'll have join for lunch with the Hispanic folks in the fellowship hall after lunch next Sunday. Those are the announcements that I have, and also I have to recognize somebody here showed up. Did you make it okay?
Yeah, I made it okay.
She's here. After her knee surgery, she's the first time she's coming back to church, and welcome. We needed you because I was singing by myself. All right, so that is good to have Lou with us also here today. God is good and continues to be.
He is all the time.
He's good all the time. And thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of this church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to donate in whatever ways we can, in time, in energy, in whatever way we have facilities that we can donate, not only just in cash, but whatever opportunities that God gives us in this community to be His witnesses for Him, for His love. We accept donations on our website. Please use that also, credit cards, debit cards, or any other options that are available there. Thank you all for joining here and also online. And if there are no other announcements, we will continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number, let me check it out.
158.
Yeah, let me bring it up. 158, it's also on the screen. And you can follow on the book or the screen as you please. Please stand for the opening hymn if you are able.
Come, Christians, join to sing, Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice, praises His precious choice. Alleluia, Amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, Amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, Amen. He is our guide and friend. To us will condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, Amen. Praise yet the Lord again. Alleluia, Amen. Life shall not end us pain. Alleluia, Amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness will adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, Amen.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, this opportunity that you have given us together as your children to come before you in this church and also online to worship, Lord. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day in spite of our conditions. We have been unfaithful to you, Lord, in many ways. But you have been faithful to us. You keep us safe every day of our lives, Lord, and it is only because of you we are here today. We thank you for all the gift of life and many other things that come with it, the good health and strength that you gave us to come be here to worship together, God. You are the Father in heaven. In your wisdom, you made all things. We kneel before you because the scripture says, every family and on heaven and earth derived its name from you. Lord, we thank you for all the faithful fathers who have guided us and cared for us. May their examples give us the witness to go forward. And we also pray for those who have not been faithful in their duties as fathers. We pray that you restore them, renew them, O God, and love them, that they become loving and caring fathers. We pray for those who are grieving due to the loss of their loving ones and fathers, O God. Bless them with your peace and presence that they will trust you in your loving grace. We also pray for for those father-like figures, even though many of them don't have children, they are father-like figures to us, O God. Thank you for their blessing in our lives. Bless all the fathers that who have taken upon themselves the responsibility of parenting in many different ways. We lift up those fathers and grandfathers who serve in the military and many parts of the world in various ways, to defend us and to serve us, O God. Many of them are separated from their children. We thank you for their services, and we remember them and remember their families, God, O Lord, today. Strengthen them by your love, that they may become loving, caring, and persons that we are called to be as fathers. We thank you again for your presence in our midst, O God. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, to honor your name and lift up your name to worship together, Lord. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is our fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other.
Deutsch today is page 176, Majesty. And I think it will be on the screen also. If you can, please stand and join us as we sing Majesty.
Standing, we'll recite the Apostles' Creed now. Let me bring it up. It's on page 881 if you want to read and follow the book. We'll read the traditional version of the Apostles' Creed, page 881. We read this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died and buried.
The third day he rose from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now as we come before God. We bring our prayers of praises and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we bring our prayers of concerns and burdens to the throne of grace of God. We unite in faith and lift them up to the throne of grace, that God will answer our prayers according to his time and his will. Some of our prayer items are listed at the back of the bulletins. If you want to turn with me to the back, those boxes listed there. This is for your regular prayers. Post it somewhere in your regular prayer study room so that you can be reminded of praying for these people and these items. that are listed there. We thank God for all the healing that God is working through us in our church and many people's lives, especially Lou is here with her replaced knee, so she's guaranteed two knees now. It's warranted from another manufacturing company too. So yes, she's here, and also Jean McPrayer is here. That's always an encouragement that she shows up. Thanks for being here every Sunday now, and we pray for you that you will be going home soon. And also Yolanda is here today, and I was a little worried about you because I didn't hear back from you, but I'm glad that you made it back. Are you doing okay?
I'm doing a lot better.
Okay, thanks be to God for that. And the other items that we have listed there, many of us need healing in our bodies. Remember Carol Clemens in our prayers regularly, and she's kind of stable, I'm assuming, up and down.
Comes up.
Okay, yeah. Some days are good, some days are bad, because dementia gets you in various different ways, unpredictably. So please keep her in our prayers, and also Wayne, as he is dealing with this on a personal basis, that God will strengthen him in his faith and his everyday duties that he has to do along with this. And pray for Ronnie, Ricky, Pam, Jean Barrington, Adam, Melissa Pilcher, Jennifer Burry, and Rich. I don't know if Jean Barrington is watching on the stream, but he's not on Zoom. But he and I talked a couple of times. He had a triple bypass surgery 2 weeks ago, but they had to go back again to do to fix something that they did. So he had to do two heart surgeries in one day that really took a toll on him. So please remember him in his prayer, but he was online with us last Sunday. That was amazing. Continue to pray for Gene, that God will strengthen him and also his wife and family. And also Jerry Raines, Jan Basor, Grace Haynes, and many others who have asked our prayers in many different ways. And Rich is here, and thanks be to God for all the healing recovery that you are receiving every day. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, grocery clerks, delivery people, construction workers, farmers, you name it. Many, many, many people work behind the scenes that are not visible to our eyes many times, that make our lives comfortable. So let us be thankful for that and remember them. Don't forget their services, that God will continue to give them the grace to do their jobs and their families to be safe. And also pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress and governors, and many others who make decisions that affect our lives in many different ways, that God will give them the wisdom, heavenly wisdom, to make the right decisions when they make decisions. And also pray for world leaders and world peace, that they will fear God when they make decisions and bring peace to this world. And also pray for our church that God has given us in this community to be his witnesses here, so that we'll be faithful in doing his work in the ways that he has given us to do, to reach out to the people who are in need and spread his love and care and compassion. Pray for all the churches in coming and around, pastors, ministers, leaders in various different ways they are working, and the world church at large, who work in many different parts of the world, spreading the gospel, especially in other parts like communist countries and Arab worlds, facing difficulties in many different ways. God will strengthen them with the Holy Spirit to do the work that God has given them to do. So those are the prayer requests that I have. Anybody have any special calls to add or to bring up any other special requests for today? If not, we will go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer at the end. Let us pray. Jesus said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, reap, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So do not worry. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us as your children to come before you with our thanksgiving and also our burdens and concerns. Thank you for the gift of life that you have given us in this world to be alive here today. It is only because of your choice that we have a life here. It was not our choice, but it was your choice for us to have a life. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the health and strength you give us every day to get up and do our things and to be here today to worship together, O Lord. Many, many blessings that you shower upon us. Even sometimes we forget them, but you have been faithful in providing us everything that we need. We thank you for the care and protection that you and keeping us safe every day, O God. Just like your Father cares for his children, you care for us more than that, O God. You are the source of all good things, and you desire only good for us, O God. We come before you with our brokenness also. Many of us are broken in many different ways, O Lord, because we know that we live in a broken world, broken, scarred by our own deeds and our thoughts and our sins. But you are a merciful and gracious Lord who is the ultimate healer, who can make us whole. So we come before you trusting in your promise that you will answer our prayers according to your grace. We lift up all those needs that we have raised here, especially the ones who thank you for the progress that you have given in the health conditions of many. Thank you for Miss Lou and Jean McBrayer and many others, also Jean Barrington, that they are recovering from their procedures and situations, that you continue to be with them and strengthen them in their faith, and also Rich, bless them with your peace also, O God. And we also thank you for the remission that you have given to Adam. Continue to be with him and his family. Give them the peace and the comfort that they need. Also, we continue to pray for Yolanda and Pam and Sean and Amy Conway, Ronnie Ricky, and many others who have asked our prayers. Jerry Rains, Grace Ames, and Jan Basil. You also remember Carol, as she's in the facility. Bless her with your presence and comfort, O God. We pray for Jennifer Berry. Bless her with your healing, as she is also recovering. We thank you again for all those who have gone through many situations in their lives and recovering in many different ways. And also we lift up those who are going through situations that they have to go through, surgeries and procedures in the coming weeks. Bless them with your grace, and also the doctors and nurses and many others who treat them to have the wisdom to do the right things at the right time. Thank you again for your presence in our church, in our midst, O God. We thank you for the services of our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who serve us in many different ways. We thank you for their work, and also we pray for them and for their families. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions that will affect our lives, that they will be guided by God's wisdom, and they will fear God when they make decisions, O God. We pray for the world leaders also, that will bring peace to this world when they make decisions. We thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to be your witnesses in this community through this church. Help us to do your work faithfully with the opportunities you have given us to do, to care for the ones who are in need, to be your arms and feet in this community to share your love, O God. Help us, Lord, to worship together today in truth and in spirit, and open our hearts and our minds to your word as your servant speaks from the word, that will be empowering for us in our daily lives, so that we can be powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. Bless Pastor Tim also as he speaks, that you will bring the message from God through him to us, Lord, to be a blessing, and then that can flow out into the world through our lives to be a blessing to others. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed today. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please. Please stand for the doxology on the screen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father,
Scripture says everyone should give according to what God has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but God loves a cheerful giver. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of giving that you have given us, Lord, that we bring a portion of what you have given us. You are the source of all that we have and we are, and help us always to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We bring before you a portion of what you have given us as a witness for the love that you have for us. Let us continue to share that love and care and compassion through our giving, your gifts of grace in many different ways. Bless us today, Lord, as we continue to worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As you remain standing, we read the scripture now. Scripture is a psalm today. Psalm 116. Pastor Tim will read it.
I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because He turned His ear to me, I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return to your rest, my soul. For the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all His goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor, for leading us today. I so appreciate your pastor, and I know you're glad to have him back. I'm very thankful for the way he serves you faithfully and for leading the singing today. In our... I know we miss Lisa being with us today, and Marcus, and she does such a great job with the singing and the musical instruments. But I'm so thankful for the pastor. I was preaching last week. I was filling in a small little church, and they don't have very many people. They don't have many resources, but they do have a song leader. But unfortunately, the song leader was out, and there was nobody in that church to lead singing. Nobody. And I tried to lead the singing, and it was just awful. It was so embarrassing. It was awkward. By the time the service was over, I was literally sweating bullets. Not just because I'm hot-natured. I was just so embarrassed. So even though I know the voice, the pastor is having trouble with his voice right now, I appreciate you so much leading the singing today and saving us from that terrible experience of having to listen to me. But it is a joy to be here, to be able to share the Word of God with you. And I want, as we look at this psalm today, to remember, I know this is a lot of scripture today, and we won't be able to cover all of it, obviously, but I want us to remember that what we read today as a psalm, this was actually the songbook of Israel. You know, we forget about that sometimes, that these were actually their hymns, so to speak. And the children of Israel sung these songs so often in celebration of what God had done for them as a people. But today's psalm is a little different than that. It's a psalm that's very individual. In fact, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but in the psalm today, really there is an experience that is depicted that quite honestly, most of us cannot relate to. If you listen to the narrative of this song or this psalm, the psalmist here is relating what we would call a near-death experience. The language here is very vivid. The psalmist speaks of how I won't turn to it on the screen here, but later in the psalm, the psalmist speaks of how the cords of death had entangled him. And in the older translation, it speaks of Sheol, that the chains or the cords of the grave had come up and they had wrapped themselves around him. And he felt himself being pulled down into the darkness of death, physical death. And that's what the psalmist is singing about, that he had been delivered from that. Now, probably, there may be some of us who have been close to death before today, but probably, at least not many of us, could say that we have experienced that. So, in a way, I'm preaching from a psalm that none of us can relate to as far as his experience. But that's okay. Because what this psalm is intended to do today is not to teach us about the experience of the psalmist, but about his God and what he learned through this experience of deliverance. So my desire today, my plan today with God's help, is I want us to spend a few moments looking at what God did in the life of the psalmist. And then what God calls the psalmist to as a result of God's intervention. So we begin here at the very top of the psalm. And I want you to I want you to hear what the psalmist is saying here. I know we, when we read the Bible, we have so many passages and so many promises about prayer. Sometimes I think we're tempted to skip over those. We take them too lightly. But I don't want us to do that today. I want you to hear what the psalmist is singing about as he sings this song of deliverance. He's singing about, first of all, that God heard him. Now, anytime we talk about prayer, I think it's probably wise to add the standard disclaimer about prayer that we all know. Prayer is not a magic formula. We know that, right? Most of us in this congregation have been walking with the Lord and following Christ long enough to know that. God is not a cosmic candy machine, right? We don't put in a thank you. Oh, it's good to have Pastor Lou back here. She is my encouragement. Thank you. We know that, don't we? We don't always get what we pray for. But nevertheless, don't pass by what the psalmist said here. He says, I love the Lord. Why? Because he heard my voice. This experience of prayer that the psalmist has is one that shows that God is very personal, but also that God is very attentive to us. If we were to read those lines with the emphasis I think that is intended, we would hear it this way. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, or he turned his ear to me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. What the psalmist is saying here is very personal. What he is in awe of here is that God heard his voice. Now, if you notice on this psalm here, the very beginning, we don't have an author of it. You know, many of the psalms were penned from those that we would kind of categorize. I don't think it's the right categorization, but a lot of times we think of people as heroes of the faith, right? We think of King David. If we read the Psalms, there's even one Psalm that is penned by Moses. We think of the sons of Asaph, the sons of Korah, all those people in the Old Testament that penned these Psalms. But listen, notice that this Psalm has no author's name on it. It is an anonymous Psalm. And I'm glad it's that way because, listen, you may be here today. You may feel that you're anonymous. You may feel, hey, I'm no hero of the faith. Well, let me tell you, I'm no hero of the faith either. There's really only one hero in the Bible. There's only one central actor, and that is God himself. But I take comfort in the fact that there's no author here. You may feel anonymous today. But listen, I want to remind you, you are known to God, and if you cry out to him in faith today, he will hear your voice. He is attentive to your voice. The word that the psalmist uses there, he says, he turned his ear toward me. The translation I typically use, it renders it this way. He inclines his ear to me. And the verb that is used there in the language is this idea of God stretching his ear toward us to hear us. Now, the psalmist is just speaking in human language, of course. God is a spirit, but he's using human terms to describe for us something that is very important, that God is attentive, that God turns toward us, that God, as it were, he bends down, he stoops low to hear our cry. There's an old saying in theology, and I don't know where this originally came from, but it's repeated a lot as we study the transcendence of God, the highness of God. We think about the fact that God is above all things. He is the creator of all things. He is sovereign over all things. Yet, The God of the Bible is also a God who is near to us.
Yes.
And this saying that I love so much is this, that God sits high, but he sees low.
Amen.
And to that we could add today, not only does God sit high and God sees low, God sits high and God hears low. Later in this psalm, the psalmist said, I was brought low, but God saved me. So look, if you are here today and you are feeling low, if you are feeling down in the ditches of life, if there are some cords, hopefully not the cords of death, but some cords of depression or guilt or regret or sin that seem to be wrapping their tentacles around you today, I want to encourage you to know that God will hear your cry. He will hear your voice. He is a God who hears. And he sings, this psalmist sings the psalm of deliverance because God hears. But God not only hears, God acts. Look at verse 8. You have delivered my soul from death, my ears from tears, my feet from stumbling. When the psalmist says that God had delivered him, he means that God had intervened. That God had come toward him. God had taken action. He had rescued him. He had set him free from what was dragging him down into the darkness. And I want to say to you that even though we have not, most of us at least, probably have not had an experience like the psalmist, the God of the psalmist is still our deliverer. Psalm 18 in verse 2 says this. This is a confession, a very basic confession of faith. That if you know Christ, if you're trusting in Him today, you can make this confession of faith. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. He delivers me. But listen, deliverance does not always come in the same way. It's very important, okay? If I could show you my sermon manuscript, which believe me, you wouldn't want to see it this morning, okay? It's not very fancy. But if I could show you my sermon manuscript this morning, this would be the place that I would want to highlight. Okay? God is our deliverer, but He doesn't always deliver us in the same ways.
Amen, yes.
It's very important, okay? You know, there's folks out there, I'm sorry, I know I'm always preaching, picking on the prosperity preachers and the TV preachers and all, and there's some wonderful TV preachers and radio preachers out there, but there are people out there on the airways right now that have made a business of deliverance, and they say that they have deliverance ministries. Listen, if you need deliverance today, I want to point you to the one who can deliver you, and it's not a preacher.
Amen.
It's not a preacher. It's the God who is our deliverer, yes. The God of the Bible, the God who raises up the psalmist. But listen, He doesn't deliver us all the same way each time. I had a dear friend of mine, Jenny, and several years ago, who was in our church, just a very committed, earnest follower of Christ. We grew very, very close to at our last church. And we had known her for about 5 years. And she was suddenly diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And if you know, pancreatic cancer is extraordinarily vicious. And most people only live a few months with pancreatic cancer. Our friend, her name was Pam, lived about 4 years. She beat the odds dramatically. God beat the odds dramatically for her. But I remember not long after Pam had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, she was talking to me one day, and as was so often the case, she was teaching the pastor something. She was a teacher kind of by heart, and she said, I know that God is going to deliver me from pancreatic cancer. That's a big statement. That's a bold statement. But then she finished the sentence and said, I just don't know how God is going to deliver me. He said, you know, God delivers three ways. God can deliver us from something. He can deliver from pancreatic cancer. He delivered the psalmist from the grave. But she said, sometimes God delivers us by something. And if pancreatic cancer is what God uses to deliver me by into His presence, I'm at peace with that. But then she said something I think that's the most important thing. She said, but you know what? God also delivers in things. He delivers in the midst of things. He delivers, sometimes He doesn't remove us from the sickness. Sometimes He doesn't remove us from our pain. Sometimes He doesn't remove us from the chaos that is our lives at times. But even if God does not deliver us from what afflicts us, He will deliver us in the affliction. You see the difference there. Apostle Paul knew this. You remember, Paul's life is a great example of this. He was delivered from death many times, right? Many times. But then there came a time where he's in the Mamertine dungeon. He's in Rome. That dungeon where tradition says Paul died. It was known as the dungeon of darkness because prisoners were kept in a place where there was no light, only the light of a candle that could be given to the prisoner. And it was there that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, probably by a very dim light, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there you see God delivered him not from death. God delivered him by death. But not only that, Paul knew the delivering power of God in affliction. You know, one of my favorite passages from the Apostle Paul is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know that there is some affliction that Paul has, and we don't know what it is. Bible students love to speculate, but the fact of the matter is the Bible doesn't tell us what is afflicting Paul, but Paul takes it very seriously. It is a very tormenting experience, whatever it is, because Paul says it is a messenger of Satan. It was sent to buffet me. You remember what Paul says? He says, I cried out to the Lord three times to remove it from me. You remember God's answer? My grace is sufficient for you.
Yes, yes, amen.
For my power is made perfect in weakness. See, God delivers from at times. He delivers by at times. But He delivers in at all times if we will trust Him. If we understand that, you see, we can sing a song of deliverance. We can sing the song of the delivered this morning as well. But let me submit to you, not only does God, and this is very important to understand this psalm here. I'm going to get the pastor. Never mind, I see where it is. I think, how do I, here is a mouse. Let me go down a little bit here. Oops, okay. If we read down through this psalm, we see that not only does God deliver from, not only does God deliver by, not only does God deliver in, God delivers to. God delivers to something. God's interventions in our life are for a purpose. And actually the biggest part of this song that the psalmist is singing is about what he has been delivered to. He understands that God has raised him up from the dead. He has given him more days. And what is his response to that? He says, I will call upon the name of the Lord forever in all my days. There is a reorienting experience here that the psalmist has. Because of his deliverance, he is recentered, he is reoriented, and he realizes that he has been delivered for something. He has been delivered to entrust his life to God and to live out the remainder of his days in His presence. Let me just briefly, I know our time is short this morning, but let me just briefly suggest three ways in which the psalmist is delivered to a new purpose. He is reoriented. The psalmist is recentered. The focus of his life is changed. Because of this experience with God, he has been brought back to the center of his faith. And the first expression of that we see is in verse 7. Such a beautiful expression. Look at what the psalmist says here. Because he's been delivered, because he's been brought back to life, so to speak, he says, speaking to his own soul, speaking to his own being, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you." Here we see that the psalmist reorients himself by recentering himself in the person of God, knowing that it is only in God that he will find spiritual rest. It is only in God that he will find spiritual peace, a stillness. Listen, don't we study this psalm today in a place, in a culture where we need to understand soul rest.
Amen.
Spiritual stillness. Peace. The psalmist is saying, because I understand what God has done to me, because I understand what God has done for me, the goodness of God, I am going to return to my rest, my place of rest. And that word, it means stillness, peace, calmness. You all are familiar, I know, with the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." That's the very same word that the psalmist is using here. The psalmist is saying, in the midst of all of the chaos of life, there is a place of peace. There is a place of spiritual rest. There is a place of stillness for me. And that place is in God. What I want to say to you this morning is, listen, that place is only in God. Sometimes we run away from God, don't we? Thinking that we can find peace somewhere else.
Yeah.
Thinking that we can satisfy the hunger of our soul in some other way, through some other avenue. But what the saints of old have constantly learned is the truth of what Isaiah said. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There is no peace apart from God. And anytime our backs are turned to God, we will not find peace. We will not find rest. Jesus echoes this promise himself in Matthew 11:28, one of my favorite promises from Christ. He speaks this to the multitude in Matthew's gospel when he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls." That rest, dear friends, is only found in God today, in our deliverer. The psalmist is reoriented to find that center, and he is also reoriented to set himself to walk before the Lord. And listen, I'll make a deal with you. I got a running a special today.
All right.
Okay. Oh, today only. Okay. If you'll listen to this point, I'll make it my last. Huh?
Okay.
How's that? If you would just listen to this. This is another place where the highlighter's supposed to be, okay? As the psalmist has been raised up, he is reoriented. He finds his place of peace again. His place of rest. And then I want you to look at what he says in verses 8 and 9. He says, "For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my tears, my eyes from tears, my feet I can't seem to get it to her. My feet from stumbling. Thank you, Pastor. That's perfect. Look at verse 9. You see the purpose of deliverance. That I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now you may say, Pastor, why would you want to highlight that? Listen, that's a really important point. The Bible, all through the Bible, I know you know this, all through the Bible, Old Testament, the New Testament, the Bible talks about how we walk, right? Mm-hmm. Now, what is the Bible talking about? Is the Bible telling us to be careful that we don't step in the ditch, that we don't trip over our shoelaces? Yeah. Is the Bible talking about physical walking? No. Hear me, dear friends. Listen, when the Bible says that we are to pay attention how we walk, what the Bible is talking about is how we live. How we live out our lives. The psalmist here understands that he has been given back life. That he is in the land of the living. And his purpose out of this deliverance in verse 9 is that he may walk, not just that he would walk in the land of the living, but that he would walk how? But open book test, how would he walk? Before the Lord. Now that the language that is used here, I'm almost to the end, but I want you to see this. There's something really, really important here, okay? That the word that is used in the ancient language here, it literally says that he will walk before the face of the Lord. And the terminology in the Old Testament, when it talks about walking before God, it literally says in the Hebrew, walking before His face. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. One of the oldest translations of the English language, the predecessor to the King James Bible, was the Bishop's Bible. And it translates, a very literal translation, it translates the verse this way, I will walk before the face of God. The Berean literal translation, 2021, this is a new translation. I just want to point out what I'm telling you here is truly an accurate depiction of what the Scripture is saying. That translation renders it, I will walk before the face of Yahweh. The idea here is what the psalmist is saying is that he has been reoriented now, and he is going to walk before the face of God. That means he's going to walk in the light of God's presence. He's going to live his life unto God. He is going to live his life knowing that God's presence is with him. He is going to live his life unto his glory. He is going to live his life not to earn God's favor, but to please God in the way he walks out his faith. Now, I want to suggest to you, if we can grasp that this morning, that is a truth that will set us free from bondage and cords just as surely as he was set free from the cords of death, because it reorients our life to a single place, walking before the face of God. Now, maybe I'm bringing this to a close, okay, but I want to just share something with you that's helped me. Maybe it'll help you. Maybe you're one of those people in life that somehow struggle as far as you feel rejected, you feel out of place when you don't meet the approval of other people. Has anybody ever struggled with that? I've struggled with that. You can't hardly name a struggle I haven't experienced. This reorientation gives us a single focus for our life. To walk not before the face of men, but before the face of God. But I want to say to you, dear friends, that will set you free. If you have lived your life rejected, feeling like you're on the outer part of the circle because someone hasn't accepted you, because someone hasn't approved of you, it is one of the most freeing things in life to be able to live before the face of God, not before the face of men. I invite you into that liberation today. I had my last illustration. I had an experience some time back when I was a person in my life that seemed, I think it was a sort of an authoritarian thing, that someone was in my life was continually trying to tell me that I wasn't measuring up, that I wasn't real, I was a hypocrite, I was not legitimate, that I was a fake preacher. Pastor Lou, I hope you never had anybody tell you that.
Oh yeah,
you did. That hurts.
Yeah,
I had somebody tell me that, and it got inside my head for a long time, until I read Genesis 17:1. God appears to Abraham and he says to Abraham, I am God Almighty, I'm El Shaddai, I'm the All-Sufficient One. You know what he said to Abraham? Walk before my face.
Yes.
Walk before my face. Not anybody else's. Live unto me. And there was a time when I was talking to this person who was accusing me of being a hypocrite, and these words came out of my mouth with not a bit of anger. Not a bit of anger. You want me to tell you what it was? I was singing the song of the delivered. And I said to this person, I said, I want you to understand this. I'm not saying this in anger. But I want you to understand this from here on out. I don't need your approval.
Amen.
I don't need your approval. I am walking before the face of God. When we sing that song of the delivered, we're also singing a song of a disciple. We're walking after Jesus. We're following Him. We're putting our focus on His gaze and not the gaze of others. Thanks be to God. Would you bow with me? Let's take just a moment of silence, and then the pastor's going to come up. We're going to sing our closing hymn, but I want to take just a moment. I want to encourage you. Kind of back to where we started today. Listen, the Lord wants to hear your voice. If you will lift your voice up to Him, He will incline His ear. He will turn towards you. Whatever you need this morning. If you're not sure that you know Christ, if you're not sure that you've been forgiven of your sins and given new life, listen, would you raise your voice to Him? There's no magic words, there's no formula. Would you call upon Him? Would you call upon the name of the Lord? And would you call upon Him continually as long as you live? Because He hears your voice. If you are in a place of lowness today, listen, He sits high, He hears low. Would you allow Him to hear your voice for a moment? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, for those encouraging words. Our closing hymn is "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Let me bring it up on the screen.
462.
You're able, please stand for the closing hymn, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus."
Amen.
trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust His cleansing, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. I am so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will meet with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Lord, as we go from this place today, we do pray that You would give us grace to trust You deeper, to reorient ourselves to the place of our rest and peace, and to go out of this place walking before